Our scripture reading is taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Christ, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Here ends our reading. May God add his blessing to it. The thing I like about the writings of the Apostle Peter is that he writes in a very clear and simple style. It's easy to read, easy to understand, and it's very easy to preach from because it lends itself quite well to a three-point sermon. So I want to take this passage and explain some of the details and show you where it relates to your life. He begins by saying in verse 17, to live your lives as strangers here in this world. Now, what that means is that you can tell that your faith is real, that your mind is influenced by Christ, if the world we live in doesn't quite fit you, if it doesn't quite feel like home, if you frequently find that the world and its ways just don't make sense, then rejoice. That's a good thing, because that's how it's supposed to feel for a person of faith. Because this world is not your final home. The kingdom of heaven is, and for that reason, you should feel out of step with this world and this life. This week, one of the news shows ran a story about the emerging technologies that will extend the human lifespan, and it talked about how they can grow a human heart that is genetically matches your own, and that my generation should be able to live to 100 on a routine basis, and this generation of children could possibly see 150 years, and future generations could even live to be 200 years. And old age would not be what it used to be, because health and vitality could be preserved, and aging could be stopped or at least significantly slowed down. And as I watched the show, I thought, you know, that would be interesting to find out if it could be done. But I'm not willing to be one of the volunteers, because I really couldn't see any value in living to be 200 years old. Now, if this world were our final home, if this life is all that we had, then the ability to live 200 years would make sense. But this world is not our final home. This life, with its pain and joy, sorrow and hope, is not all we have to look forward to. We have another world and another life that awaits us, a life that doesn't have the pain and struggles and sorrows and tragedies of this world. So why would I want to put that off for several hundred years? So for whatever time you have in this world, live as a stranger, as a foreigner, in reverent fear. Now, it says, live as a stranger in reverent fear. Now, this is a phrase that oftentimes gets misunderstood. People will cite passages like that perfect love casts out all fear. Well, how are we supposed to then live in fear? Well, notice he modifies it by saying reverent fear. In the original Greek of the New Testament, it doesn't always translate well into English. You see, there were three different words in the original Greek of the New Testament that we translate as fear. And the word that Peter is using is phobos. And phobos means an amazement or astonishment that occupies all of our conscious mind. Reverent fear is a constant awareness of Christ's sacrifice for you, a constant awareness of God the Father being part of our life, a constant awareness that God the Father is a witness to our deeds and our actions, our decisions, and even the inward attitude of our hearts. And with that constant awareness that there will be a day of reckoning, that awareness is an important part of a holy life. That's what makes us examine our deeds and our actions. That's what makes us weigh our decisions. That's what makes us guard our attitude. And guarding our attitude is the one task that takes the most work. So that when those irreverent attitudes of pride and jealousy or bitterness or hatred come creeping in, we can go to the Lord and say, okay, here it is. Help me to get rid of it. That's what reverent fear looks like. Then verses 18, 19, and 20 simply expound on that idea. But let's go now to verse 21, where it says, through him, meaning Jesus, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Faith and hope are the hallmark of a holy life. I thought a long time about this week, about faith and hope, and I thought how I might best explain the theology of faith and hope and without putting you to sleep. And I found a very simple explanation of what faith and hope really looks like when you're living them out. And I found this explanation that was sitting by the side of the road. It was a sign that read simply like this: sorrow looks back, worry looks around, faith looks up. Now, the message of the gospel is this, that our faith is in God and our hope is in the resurrection. And in order to see them, we have to have our focus upward toward heaven, toward God, not around us at situations, so that will only make us worry, not backwards, because that will only cause regret, but having our focus upward, that is what brings faith and hope in the resurrection to come. I used to suffer a lot with depression and debilitating anxiety, and that's because I was always looking around. And over the past several years, God has made some significant changes in my life, and I no longer suffer that depression and anxiety like I once did. But as I was preparing the sermon this week, I realized that I do still have a problem, however, with regret, because I'm no longer looking around. Instead, I'm looking backward. Again, I need to get my focus upward, not backward. Faith and hope in the resurrection is where our focus should be. That is what's going to help us through tough times. Now, we could probably all share some time where we experienced faith and hope, but none of us so far has experienced resurrection. And our faith and hope is because of the resurrection. Now, I have never experienced resurrection, but I would like to tell you about the time that I think I came closest to it. It was when I was in third grade over the winter of 1973-74. It was a very bad year for stomach flu, and school was called off for 2 days due to the flu bug. And in those 2 days, they brought in cleaning teams and they sanitized all the desks and chairs and surfaces. And when we came back from a 4-day weekend, we were all gathered in the gym and the school nurse talked to us about washing our hands and coughing into our elbow and so on. And she gave us a booklet to read about the flu. And we had to read it before we could leave the gym. And the booklet said that fever is the main symptom of the flu, and that fever is generally not serious, that it's just our body fighting off an infection. However, if our body temperature gets 7 degrees or more above normal, then it could be deadly. And then it stated that normal body temperature was 98.6 degrees. Now, I was in a hurry, and I misread it, and I transposed the numbers. I didn't read it as 98.6 degrees. I read it as 68.9 degrees. Later that week, I caught the stomach flu. My mom took my temperature and told me that it was 101 degrees. So in my confused third grade mind, that meant that my body temperature was 32 degrees above normal. And I thought, I'm a goner. And I couldn't understand why my mom and grandma and the whole family just went about their day like normal. I thought it's because they didn't want to worry me or something. And later that afternoon, I asked my grandma if they had called the ambulance to take me to the hospital. And she just said, oh, no, we won't need to do that. And she could see the distress on my face, and she said, well, this will be a lot easier if you just close your eyes and pray about it. Now, that was her answer for everything, including stuff that she didn't want to talk about. I did close my eyes and tried to pray, but instead I fell asleep, and I slept for the next 12 hours. Somewhere in that sleep, my fever broke, and I woke up the next morning. And I couldn't believe how I felt. It felt like I had been delivered from the jaws of death. And the joy and the gratitude that I experienced was only a small fraction of the joy and gratitude that we will experience waking up in our eternal home. And so, friends, remember, live your life as strangers in reverent fear, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Amen.